Right. Everybody take your Bible and remain standing, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 40 through 49 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Genesis chapter 24, verses 40 through 49. Just so you know, there's some long names in here. When you get to them, if you slaughter it, don't worry. Everybody else is slaughtering it too. And I mean this, it's okay, all right? But we're going to read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 40. You join me on verse 41, and we'll alternate back and forth like that all the way through verse 49, and we'll finish on verse 49 together. But Genesis chapter 24, verses 40 through 49. "And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear this from my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto thee well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands." I told you those names would get you. Verse 48, "And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way and to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." And let's pray, and then we'll continue. Father, please, I pray that you'd take the preaching of the Word of God today. Would you please use it in a special way? Lord, I wish someday, though it's not high on my list, that I could say I preached a good sermon. That's not on my priority list. I sure would like to help your people. That's the highest. So please, would you take this preacher, would you allow me to be yielded to you? And as I'm yielded to you, would people's hearts, minds, and ears be yielded to the preaching so that it could change their lives today, please? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. We have here in Genesis 24 what I think is one of the most unique and yet interesting stories in the Bible. Give me just a moment to give you what's going on, and then we'll get to the truth of the day. I don't think you're going to figure out where I'm headed till I get there. All right, so don't try to outthink me here. You won't do it. No, don't try to outthink me here. Just follow biblical logic for a moment, and I think you'll enjoy the truth today. Abraham and Sarah had a child. Matter of fact, they had two. One out of disobedience, and his name was Ishmael, the father of what we now know as the Muslim nation today, or the Muslims. Then you had the one that God promised to Abraham and Isaac, or Abraham and Sarah, who was Isaac. About lost that one, didn't I? I've been listening to the news too much. that was the one from the Supreme Court. Sorry. But anyway, Abraham and Sarah, and you have to understand, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. There's hope for you yet, Brother and Mrs. Brining. There's still hope. She was sick last week, and he said, yeah, she got up, and she was not well on the stomach. I said, she's not pregnant, is he? He said, oh, Brother Bush, hope not. Oh, my. I won't tell you where it went after that, because it wasn't good, all right? But anyway, Isaac has grown up. He's become a man. And in this story, this time, he's probably in his late 20s, early 30s. Sarah has passed away. You say, why? If you had a kid at 90, you're going to die soon anyway, amen? But she has passed away. Abraham is an old man, and he is not doing well. And he said to one of his servants, he said, my son, at that time they were not living where they had used to live. He said, I want my son to marry the right kind of person. By the way, what a wonderful thing for a parent to want. Want your children to marry the right kind of person. And he said, I want you to go back to where I grew up, my hometown. And we have some distant family there left, I'm sure. He said, now I want you to go find the right kind of lady for my son to marry. Now, I want you to notice something. It was not a prearranged marriage. This was not a contract that Abraham said, well, 100 years ago, I told somebody if they had kids and I have kids, they're going to get married. By the way, their children were already grown, and it would have been their grandchildren or great-grandchildren. So that would not have worked. But he said to one of his servants, I want you to go back to my homeland, and I want you to find the right kind of lady for my son to marry. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully on this. Parents, don't dictate who your children marry. I love my dad. I love my mom. But they didn't pick my wife for me. Say why? Wasn't their choice. That was mine. Now, a wise child will get parental approval. Everybody understand that? My mom and dad said, you can go to where I had planned to go to Bible college. And they sent me to a place where there was a good Pope, there was a big pond to fish from, amen, but it was the right kind of stocked pond. We knew what kind of fish was in there. And you're always going to have some bad fish in a pond. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But when it's a stocked pond, you have a better chance of getting what you're fishing for. And that is exactly what we as parents ought to do. We ought to keep our young people in places where they can choose the right kind of mate for their life. Now, I say that to say this. My daughter's getting ready to go to Bible college. I'm very picky where my children go to Bible college. Just because it says Bible college doesn't mean I put my stamp of approval on it. Now, I'm going to send her to a place where I believe, A, the Lord wants her to go, and B, what I think is probably the best for her to be at. I just believe it. Now, hang in here for a second. Fortunately, she's got two brothers there. That does help. Then, I helped train or went to college with most of the people that she's going to be under. Last thing I said to Dr. Jorgensen when he was here last week, we got up from the table at Golden Corral, and I put my arm around him. I put my hand on Mrs. Jorgensen's shoulder. I said, do me a favor, Doc. Keep the jerks away from her. He said, Mrs. Jorgensen said, oh, Brother Bush, she's your daughter. I don't think you're going to have to worry. I said, that's you talking as Mrs. Jorgensen. Now talk to me as a mother. She said, we'll do it. And we joked about it. And Brother Hawkins, Wednesday night or yesterday, he said, Melinda, if I find out some jerk, he says, I'm going to come over there. I'm going to get him and you, all right? You just let me know. I'm glad people are looking out for her. Amen? My oldest, he said, Dad, don't worry. They got to go through me first. I said, no, they got to go through me. He said, no, they got to get through me to get to you. I said, all right. And so she doesn't have a chance. Amen. But I want her to go to a place where the right kind of person is at. I've taught my daughter what the right kind of person to look for is. Can I tell you what his name is? No. If I could have, We'd got rid of him already. I want my daughter, and I've told all three of my children, you know, I want you as happy as your mom and I are. I really do. My son Josh got married a year ago next Sunday. Whew. It's almost a year already. Praise the Lord. I can't believe she's put up with him that long. We were talking this week. I thank God for my daughter-in-law. Now, I use that word in public. She's not my daughter-in-law. She's my daughter. She's just as much a part of my family as my son is. And I text back and forth with Ruth Ann regularly. I told her this week, I said, I am so thankful God put you in our family because you're the only woman in the world to put up with my son Josh. She said, I don't want to be anywhere else, and I am so glad. But you know what? My wife and I prayed for 23 years that God would give him the right wife. She's an answer to prayer. I love that. Her parents prayed for 20 years that God would give their daughter the right young man. By the way, that's why her family and my family get along. We prayed. We got what we got. Amen. It's an answer to prayer. We're not in competition with each other. Now, listen to me. It's our job as parents to keep our children in the right kind of place for the right kind of mate. That means the right kind of schools, the right kind of colleges, the right kind of friends, the right kind of influences. All those things play a part in that. Now, I am not God of my children. Let me say that again. I am not her God. I'd make a pretty bad God, just so you know. It's starting to look a little bit more like Buddha. and I'm talking from here down, not from here down, all right? Though she tells me it's getting thinner. Abraham's servant was commissioned by Abraham to go back and find the right kind of lady for Isaac. Now, listen to this. I enjoy this. Verse number 41 says, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. He said, look, you go back and do your best, but if they say no, it's okay. If they say no, it's okay. And I won't hold you to it. Abraham asked his servant to go do his best, and that's all he could ask. Now, the servant goes on this long journey, and as he approaches that town, he came to the well, which was kind of the meeting place, so to speak, where folks would get water. And in that culture, the young ladies would carry the water. Of course, they're carrying it for cooking and cleaning clothes and keeping everybody cared for at the house. And he said, I got an idea. One of these young ladies that comes up here is going to be single. That's the word virgin. By the way, that's not a bad word. That's a good word. Yes, ladies, you ought to want to hit this altar pure and virgin. He said, I'll wait for one of those young ladies to come and I'll say, could you get me a drink of water? And I'll know I have the right kind of lady because she'll say, not only will I give you water, but I'll give your camels water also. Notice there's an S on the word camel. That means there was, for you Hebrew scholars, that means there's more than one. Amen? Camels. Now, I don't know if you know much about a camel, but they get a lot of going, and they can suck up an awful lot of water. I know this. Without a hose, I don't want to feed one of them critters. That means you've got a young lady that has a willing heart and a willing spirit to do something for a stranger. That's the right kind of young lady. And he's there. No sooner had gotten through that thinking process, and a young lady walked up, and he said, would you be kind enough to give me a drink? And the Bible says he barely got the words out. She made haste. That means she was hurrying. She took her water down and said, here's water for you. And if you'll let me, I'll give water to your camels also. In the words of that famous Gomer Pyle, Shazam, he had a potential candidate. Amen. Now, I want you to understand, he talks to her and says, who's your family? And he finds out it's extended family from Abraham, the type of person he was looking for. He said, I would love to meet your family. My master is from your household. She said, why don't you come home with me and my daddy will take care of you. He followed her. By the way, it says he gave her, put an earring on her face and put bracelets on her wrist. He did that because she worked for him. There was a lot of water to draw for those camels. He did that out of respect and payment for the work she did. All right, now watch this. He goes to Rebecca, is her name, goes to her house. He tells who he works for, Abraham, and they talk about how they have known of Abraham, that he moved away many, many, many years ago, but they know they're related to him. And then the servant pops the question. He said, Abraham's old. Abraham's son Isaac is needing a wife. Abraham has sent me here. I told the Lord that to the young lady who did what your daughter did, that that would be a sign to me that she's the right kind of person. Do you think she'd be interested in going back with me to marry Isaac? Now, girls, imagine going to a different country or a different state to marry somebody you have never seen. That takes a little bit of faith. And a whole lot of stupidity. No. Now, listen to this for a moment. The daddy said, it's okay with me, but she's the one that's got to live with this decision. Why don't you ask her? And they did, and she accepted. Now, here's where I'm not going the direction you thought I was going. Part of the story that I want to focus on is not what you expect. I want to focus on one part of this and teach you something today that is just, to me, something very sweet and very valuable. God records that Abraham said that he told the servant, if they tell you no, it's okay. If they tell you no, it's okay. I call today's sermon, How to Say No. How to say no. Now, Abraham was teaching his servant how to handle people saying no to him. If you look at verse 41, the Bible says, and if they give thee not one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. In verse 49, it records the statement of the servant, and it says, and now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Just go ahead and tell me whether you're going to say no or not. That way I know whether to stay or whether I need to keep on looking. He didn't say, oh, please don't tell me no. He said, just let me know if you're serious or not. And if you are, great. And if not, that's okay. I just need to know which way to go from here. He had learned from Abraham not only how to accept a no, but how to, if somebody's going to say no, how to do it. Now, today I want to share some thoughts on how to say no. I'll start with an illustration. I won't tell you which child, but one of our children, somebody bought him a little shirt. He must have been about a year old. And his little shirt said, my name is No-No. Say, why? Because, you know, they hit that 1, 2, 3-year-old stage. They hear that word so much, they think it's their name. You know, no, 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 no. I told my wife I could make millions of dollars by making a little, at that time, cassette tape, now CD, or put it in digital formatting, that I call it a parenting CD. You know, it has all those wonderful things. Did you use soap? Turn the water off. Shut the door. No, I told you, don't ask your mother. You know, all those statements that you say about 4,000 times in rearing your kids. If you just put it on CD, sell the thing, and just play it all day long, you'll be in good shape. Now, the ability to say no. Now, here we go. I'm I want to help you. So everybody listen. Number one, we need to know what to say no to. We need to know what to say no to. Did you know that the average person doesn't know what they're going to say no to until they have to say yes or no? You say, well, I don't understand what you're saying. Most people don't make a decision about what they're going to say no to till the temptation comes their way. And that's why they do things they would not normally do. Can I tell you something? When the pressure's on, it's harder to say no. I decided a long time ago I would make a list of things by principle, by scriptural principle, what I would say no to. Guess what? When those things come my way, I don't have to make a decision. Decision already made. And I don't have to worry about whether or not to say no. I know what the Bible says, and I do what I've been commanded to do by God, and I make less mistakes that way. I didn't say none. I make less mistakes that way. Let me show you what I mean. Many of you ought to go home today and make a list of things that you will say no to. Let me show you what I mean. Alcohol. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Alcohol, it's not Bud Wiser, it's Bud Dumber. That stuff makes you stupid. God says that alcohol is not something for people to consume. He said, woe be to him that putteth the bottle to his brother's lips. By that we say, well, Jesus turned the water to wine. It wasn't fermented wine, it was juice. Trust me. Jesus would not violate the word of God for Lord's Supper. When we do the Lord's Supper, we don't drink Mogan David. It's Welch's grape juice or whatever other brand I can find. But it's juice. If you went to a place that makes grape juice, you'll find out as soon as the juice leaves the fruit, it's called wine. Now, you're thinking only in fermentation. There was fermentation is to wine what sin is to the body, to the believer, and there was no sin in our Savior's blood. He was not a sinner. That's why we use pure juice, and we won't go into that. But I learned a long time ago, I don't have to decide whether or not if somebody offers me a drink, I'm going to say no. It's no. It's no. Number drugs. I'm talking about illegal drugs or improperly taking prescription drugs. Everybody hear that? That's just as bad as going out and smoking a joint. I don't care whether the government says it's okay. Folks, you don't need to get high. You don't need to get drugged up to get rid of your problems. You're only adding to your problems. It's no different than alcohol. Throw tobacco in there, chewing, dipping, or smoking. You're destroying the temple of the Holy Spirit as a Christian. And I don't have to worry about it. I don't worry about somebody offering me a cigarette or a chew or a plug or a dip. Amen. I don't have to work around like this, getting cancer and bitten everywhere. Man, that's nasty. It's just gross. Did you know you don't have to worry about every time you're tempted with immorality, you can say no? Decide before it comes your direction whether you'll do it or not. That way, when it does come your direction, you just say no. I'm not one of these, well, you live a certain lifestyle and people are going to flock to you. And what must I do to be saved? That's called lifestyle evangelism, and it's not true. But I do believe this, the way you live your life lends credibility to your testimony. I've traveled some, not a lot. I was in Washington State preaching one time, and I was headed back to my motel room, and I was on the main floor, but my room was the next to the last room all the way down the hallway. You know, one of those ones where you almost want to get one of those things that you put your luggage on and sit down on it and just push yourself like a scooter. It's so far down the hall. And I was there for almost a week at that time. And I was headed to my room, and a door kicked open. This female, I was going to say lady, it wasn't a lady, kicked the door open, and she said, "Hey, I've seen you this week. You're alone. Why don't you come to my room?" I had my Bible in my hand. And in my Bible, I had my wife's picture. I opened up my Bible and said, "Nope, I'm going back to my room to go call my wife. I don't need somebody like you." And I went to my room and I called my wife. Say why? Because I already decided I'd say no. Everybody see how that works? I didn't have to weigh it in the balance. I didn't have to say, well, no, 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 no. The answer was already there because I decided a long time ago the answer is no. I'm talking about lying. Did you know you're supposed to tell the truth whether it helps or hurts you? You know, there's times you're supposed to tell the truth because it's the right thing to do, not just because it's convenient or successful for you. That means it's your job. That means with your wife or your husband, with your children. You know, sometimes you have to be honest with your children. It's real easy to lie to them. They don't know as much as you know. Man, it's getting quiet in here. Somebody say amen. Man, I know I went from preaching to meddling. It's okay. We'll get through it here in a minute. I'm talking about cheating. You know, you're not supposed to cheat anybody. I don't care if you find a $5 bill on the ground. You take it where you found it and take it back to the store or wherever it is and give it. My children will tell you, we've found $5, $10, $15, or $20 bills in parking lots. I took one of my kids back into Walmart. They found I think it was a $20 bill in a parking lot. "Oh, Dad, look what God gave me." I said, "No, God gave you that to find out whether you're going to be honest or not." "What do you mean?" "So we're going back in there and taking it inside because somebody lost that." We took it back into the service desk, and the lady said, "Oh, we haven't had anybody yet say that. So why don't you just keep that?" I said, "No, ma'am, it's not his. He needs to learn to be honest and turn it back in." I said, "It's not his. He's leaving it here." She looked at me like I had four eyeballs. And I said, "You're not going to win this one, ma'am. You're going to keep it." "All right. Are you sure?" "I'm sure." You know, my children have learned to be honest and not cheat anybody. That means we're supposed to pay our bills. Don't make bills you can't pay. Boy, that's good stuff. That means we shouldn't gossip. Now, let me just say this, and I'll hit it in passing. Do you know there's two sides to gossip? Saying it and listening to it? I'm against both parts of that. Did you know if you don't listen to it, you're probably not going to say it? I don't listen to gossip. I don't. And if somebody starts down that road, well, I just couldn't stop them. Yes, you can. There's two words you need to learn. Shut up. Well, that's not very nice. It's better than them puking in your ear. That's all they're doing. They're verbally puking in your ear. Tell them to shut up. Did you know there's a button on your phone and you could go if they won't? Well, that would be rude. It's more rude to listen to them than it is to turn it off. Okay, moving on. I'm talking about the wrong kind of music. We don't need to listen to, who's this fruitcake, Miley Cyrus, all these weirdos. Good night, a bunch of perverted idiots of the devil. Why in the world do churches want to copy their music? Well, we're putting spiritual words to rock music to attract young people. God's music is a whole lot better. You give me that young man that stood behind this pulpit living the right way, singing the right kind of songs any day. Any day. Well, it just doesn't appeal to my flesh. Exactly. Living by principles and deciding one time will keep you from having to make decisions circumstance by circumstance. Do you know my life is pretty simple? I don't have to worry about it. I was out soul winning one time. Matter of fact, I was over here in Stonebridge. Won a man to Christ. He got saved, bowed his head. He said, "Pastor," he said, "that's just incredible." He said, "You want a beer?" He didn't know any better. I said, "No." I said, the Bible says we're not supposed to drink alcohol. Really? I didn't know that. I said, I know. I said, it's okay. I said, I'm not mad. I'm not offended. I can't do it. Don't want to do it. I said, I don't want to disobey God. He said, you mean I got to clear out my refrigerator? I said, that's between you and God. I said, you're just not going to clear it out and put it in my car. All right? Let your principles decide for you, and then you don't have to keep making a decision. You know, let me say this. You know, that book doesn't change. That means you don't have to keep redeciding. You know, I don't have to keep redeciding. I've been married for 26 years. I don't have to keep redeciding whether I'm going to say no to immorality. I said yes to her. I don't have to decide anymore. Decision made. Ring in the note. On the finger. I don't have to keep redeciding whether or not I'm going to stay true to my vows. I promised 26 years ago I would love her, honor, keep her only unto myself so long as we both shall live. I made that promise to God and to her. Why do I have to keep redeciding it? That's how you live by principles. Now, number two. Number one, we need to know what to say no to. Number two, did you know you can say no politely? Did you know that you could say no politely? I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know it's not rude to say no? If someone offers you something that you should not do, it's not rude to say, no, thank you. No, thank you. There's times my wife and I will go out to eat and the restaurant may have alcohol. I don't go to a bar, but they might have it and serve it or whatever. And they'll come up and they always want to put their extra things out. And I just fold it up, slide it aside. They say, I'm a Baptist preacher. We don't drink. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's okay. I just don't do it. I won't do it. I won't. If I take somebody out to eat, I'll buy their meal, but I won't buy booze and I won't sit at the table if they're drinking it. I'm just not going to do that. And I'm not going to be unkind. I'm just not going to do that. You say, why? Because I decided a long time ago, God said it was wrong. Why should I sit there? Everybody doing okay? Okay. And you can do that kindly. It's sometimes necessary to say no because you can't do something. And by the way, when you do, you shouldn't feel bad about it. Did you know that obeying God isn't something to feel bad about? They ought to feel bad for offering it to you. my wife and I on our anniversary went to Outback. There you go. Sorry, I was trying to read her lips. I was looking through the wrong part of my glasses and didn't see it real well. We went to Outback and the little hostess, she said, would a table over here by the bar be okay? And I said, no, ma'am. I said, sorry, this is my wife and I's 26th anniversary, and I'm a Baptist preacher, and Baptist preachers and booze don't go together real well. I am so sorry. I said, no, it's okay. We had people falling all over us from the staff because I said that. I didn't mean for it to be. I just wanted her to know I ain't doing that. It's amazing. They didn't ask us if we wanted any alcohol after that either. I wasn't unkind. I wasn't saying, bless God, don't you dare. She didn't know who I was. She did afterwards, but she didn't know then. You don't have to be unkind, but you do need to say no. Boy, that's good stuff. You know, some of you real squishy people, listen to this statement. You know, you shouldn't have to always explain why you say no. Parents, your children don't need a 20-minute explanation as to know why they shouldn't go out into the street. They don't need all of the explanation. They just need to learn to obey no. After they've obeyed no, they'll get the understanding they need to learn. Trust me. Every once in a while, a critter would get squished on the road. And I can remember my dad saying, that's why you don't go out in the street. Boy, that's crude. That's rough. I still look every which way before I go out in the street. You say, why? I've seen too much roadkill. I'm not kidding. You say, oh, that's a little mean. Well, it might be a little mean, but I'm still here and not flat as a pancake. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Every once in a while, you need to just tell your kids, no. Why? Because I said so. Now, that doesn't work forever. Eventually, they need to know why. But at the moment, just obey it. Everybody doing all right? Boy, that's a good statement. I better move on. Let's learn not to get hurt feelings if somebody tells us no. My secretary can tell you this. And just about every person that's been in this church 6 months or more, you're going to hear this statement from me or have heard it already. I'll ask you to do something, and this is how I'll say it. No is not a bad answer. And if you can't do this, it's okay. But could you help me with this? And people have said, no. Okay. Did you know you're not off my list because you said no? Some of you, if somebody tells you no one time, you'll never talk to them again. God help you. Maybe it's just not the right time. Have you ever been busy before and had to say no? And I mean, you were truly busy. And by the way, don't take offense if somebody tells you no. You say, preacher, people actually tell you no? Yes, and I want them to. I want to make it easy for them to tell me no. My secretary probably gets tired of hearing me say, make it easy for them to say no. She's probably heard that statement 350 times in the last year. I say it almost every day of my life. You say, why? I don't want you, and a lot of you men, you'll hear me say, I don't want you to tell me yes just to please me. I want you to be able to tell me no. And if I find out you tell me yes and it's hurting you or hurting your family, I'm going to be upset with you. I make it real easy to say no. You say, why? Because I don't want you doing it just because of who I am or what my position is. I want you to do it because it's the right thing for you to do at that time. Does that make sense to everybody? And just because you said no once, I'll say, I'm going to ask you again maybe some other time for something else. Okay. And I do. You say, why? Because no once doesn't mean no forever. Boy, that's a good statement. You know, you only have to be harsh when people don't get the picture. Sometimes you have to be harsh with a no. One of our soul winners was out yesterday. And they met somebody that they don't believe the Bible. But they wanted to get into an argument. But one of our dear ladies said, no, my preacher's taught us, we don't argue with people. We would like to leave friends. How about if we just decide to leave friends? You take this tract that shows you how to go to heaven according to the Word of God, and how about we just decide we're going to depart as friends? I enjoy that. I was very proud of that lady. Can I tell you why? That's the scriptural way to say, no, I'm not going to argue with you. Everybody doing all right? Now, I know that fun of trying to convince them. Jesus said, if they're not going to listen to you, just shake the dust off and go to somebody that will listen. By the way, after that, they had somebody that did listen and got saved. Isn't it amazing how that works? I got to keep going. You don't need to be rude if you have to be harsh. You can still be insistent without being rude. And I've got to hurry and I'm done. Number three, there are some things you should not say no to. Do you know there are some things you should not say no to? I know, Nancy Reagan back in the 80s, just say no. Well, there was more truth to that than a lot of people know. That was for drugs, those of you that aren't old enough to understand that. But there's more to it than just that. But there are some things, scripturally, you should not say no to. Let me show you what I mean. Did you know you shouldn't say no to God? Did you know you should not say no to God? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to get saved. Now listen to this statement. For you to tell God no, wow, that's pretty rough. There's times I've had to tell my dad or my mom no. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not telling God no. My dad will tell you, it hurts me if I ever have to tell him no. And I try not to have to tell him no. But there are times it's been, Dad, I can't do that right now. Okay, can we schedule it for another time? Nope, got to have it done here. It's okay, I'll get somebody else. And boy, if at all possible, I work it out. And it hurts me. But let me tell you this, when it comes to God, I'm not saying no. That's why this preacher's old-fashioned and he's not changing what this book says. I'm not saying no to God. I'm not going to change the preaching because that's the way God said it's supposed to be. I just don't understand. You don't have to understand. I'm obeying God and I'm not telling him no. Did you know that you're not supposed to tell God no? You know, folks, well, we get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ and what he did for us to take us to heaven. He paid the price for you to die, for you to go to heaven. He made salvation available for you. You don't get it by what you do. Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are not good enough to work your way to heaven. You can't go to enough church services. You can't get baptized enough times. You can't live a good enough life. Your good works will never outweigh your bad works, because if you have any bad, you're already tipping the scale. You have to have a perfect account. There's only one way to do that. Somebody had to live a perfect life and put his account on your account. And Jesus Christ came, became your righteousness, and became your sin. And the moment you trust him, he puts his righteousness on your account, accepts your unrighteousness, and God clears your sin account, past, present, and future. Amen. He did it by his blood, and his blood, because of his righteousness, washes away your sin, but he also makes you righteous. Now watch this. For you to tell God, no, I'm not doing it your way, I'm doing it my way, there's a punishment on that, and it's called hell. I didn't say it, God did. I don't want you to die and go there. God is not willing that you should. That's why he gave us Jesus Christ. Did you know that we're supposed to live by what that book says, whether we agree or not? Don't laugh. Did you know I didn't always agree with my daddy when I was a boy? I didn't always understand why he would say, quit climbing on things. And at 4 years old, I crawled up a sandstone wall and got to the top one and pulled it off, and it wasn't attached, and it came down with me, and I hit the ground, and it hit my head. And we got stitches. One of the 15, 20 times I got stitches in my head. You better hope I don't go bald, because I'll look like Frankenstein. There are more patches of nothingness up there other than scars than you can imagine. Say, why? Because I didn't listen. Eventually, he said, son, if you got a hard head, you're going to have a soft bottom. Why don't you just give in? And I had a hard head, and there are other parts that are not hard. They're soft. They've been tenderized. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Did you know I didn't always agree with him? It's amazing, after you have children, how smart your mom and dad become. You know those things that you said, I'll never tell my children that when you're a teenager. I'm never going to tell my kids that. And the first time they do it, it's coming out of your mouth thinking, where'd that come from? I heard my dad say that. I heard my mom say that. Yeah, because you found out they're right. Found out they're right. You know, we should not say no to helping people with the truth. You know, somebody that needs help with truth, we shouldn't tell them no. You know, if somebody is dying and going to hell, we shouldn't say, well, God bless you. You should have got it before. I'm not going to tell you. Lord, have mercy. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what gender they are. I don't care what their lifestyle is. They're going to get the gospel. Amen. Doesn't mean I have to approve of everything they're doing, but they need the gospel. That's the only hope of change they have. Definitely not the White House. We should not say no to regularly attending church and obeying God with our church attendance. I know that's not preached in America anymore, but I don't care. It's in the Bible. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. It's not the manner of some to go to church. Can I tell you something? It's God's house. You're supposed to be here to learn the Word of God so you can go out and help more people and reach more people for the kingdom of God. It's real simple. Everybody doing all right? Did you know you're supposed to support your church? That means be here. That means I believe in tithing. And I believe in tithing to the church you attend. My daughter will leave here, go to Bible college, and she'll move her membership to Lexington, Kentucky, to the Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, in about 5 or 6 weeks. Say why? Because I've told her when she goes there, Brother Fugit becomes your pastor while you're there. Let him pastor you. Amen. I have two boys that are there. I'll talk to them as their daddy, but I will not advise them as their pastor. Say why? Because they have a pastor, and his name is Dr. Jeff Fugit. And I tell my boys, you go see your preacher and do what he tells you. And if it's different than what I tell you, you do what your preacher tells you to do. I believe in doing that. Say, why? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. My son was, one of my sons was getting ready to do, I said, go talk to your preacher. He said, well, Dad, what do you, I said, I know what it would be like here, but I don't know what it's like there in Lexington. I said, he has a better grip on it. Don't follow what I say. I think it would go this direction, but I don't know enough about where you're at to tell you what to do. You get yourself in to go see your preacher now. Everybody doing all right? You say, what is that? That's called wisdom. And I believe in doing that. I believe in supporting the church you attend. I just believe in that. That means going there financially, with your service, with your time, all of those things. Can I tell you something? We ought to just jump in and take part. Ladies, you don't have to worry about coming to our ladies' meeting in August. It's not a gossip session. Jump on in. The water's fine. You'll enjoy it. Well, I've been to some ladies' meetings before. Okay, this isn't before. This is now. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Did you know you're not supposed to say no to going soul winning? Well, I'm just afraid. I've been soul winning for 36 years. Every time I knock on the door, my first thought is, I hope they're not home. I'm sorry. I'm your preacher. But I still have those feelings. You say, why? Because I'm afraid of people like you are. But something happens when that door goes... And I put that track in their hand and I start talking about God, something kicks in. My flesh says, ooh, I hope they're not home. But once they are and I start, the Holy Ghost kicks in and it's, come on, here we go. I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you I have flesh like you have. I get afraid of people like you do. I don't like taking some of the hard stands I take, no more than you do, but may I say this, it's the right thing to do, we'll obey God, and we ought to go soul winning. Our country, our world is dying and going to hell, and we're supposed to take the truth to them. They're not going to come beat our door down asking for the truth, we've got to take it to them. We need to know what we're going to say no to. We need to know that we can say no politely, and we need to know what not to say no to. How long have you been telling God no? Parents, you want your children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Maybe God will call them into the ministry. Don't tell them no. They need to obey God for themselves. Everybody doing all right? Don't tell God no about your salvation. Don't tell God that you're not going to obey him. Can I tell you something? My daddy's not a spring chicken anymore. You're what? 176? No, my dad's 76 years old. I don't have to obey my daddy. But can I tell you something? I want to honor him. I'd like my dad pleased. I would. But you know what? 10,000 more times I'd rather please my Heavenly Father. I know if I can please him, I'm going to please my daddy. So I'm working on pleasing him, and in the process, we'll just let everything else fall where it may. Let's not tell God. No, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. There are those in this room today, if you died, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven. You don't have to leave today. Not knowing that, in a matter of a couple minutes, you can know 100% sure you're going to heaven. Bible says that we're all sinners. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows we're all sinners. Bible says because we're all sinners, there's a penalty for our sin. That penalty is death. Not just your body, but your spirit, your soul that will die and forever be in a place called hell. That's the punishment that God gave Lucifer before man was created. Same punishment, same justice. But watch this. Jesus Christ came and died for your sin. He didn't die for Lucifer. He didn't die for the angels that fell. He died for you. He wanted you and the fellowship restored between you and the Father. And you simply have to accept what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure. But someday I'd like to know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, I haven't been real good about saying no to the wrong things. Yes, I never thought about what I need to say no to. There was something in that sermon today that I needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of hands everywhere. Maybe you just need to come to this old-fashioned altar and pray and get yourself a list when you go home. Or maybe you need to stop telling God no. Maybe you need to tell God yes.